All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're going to start this meeting into order. We have a quorum now. We're going to first begin with roll call.
Commissioner McKinley is excused. Tomas Boyton.
Present.
David Evans. Sharon Green.
I'm here.
Wibbett Hay. Maria Hernandez. Dina Hill. Elizabeth.
Lodice,
thank you.
Go get it.
Myron Nagelberg.
Yo.
David Myers. Shane Searchwell. Bobby Valentine.
Here.
Clay Walker.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Wonderful. Thank you. Next, we'll do a motion to adopt the agenda for September 29th.
Humble.
Okay, we have a motion from Mike and a second from Bobby. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, looks pretty unanimous. Next, we'll go to the minutes from the June 27th and the summary of the meeting held on June 8th. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
One from Bobby. Do I have a second?
Second.
By Mike. All right, we've got the dual team there going. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I have no comments. Next, we'll go to the public. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak? Seeing none, we'll go to a special presentation that'll be...
Tomas, if we may, it might not be part of what would be considered to be general public comments, but it'd be my pleasure to introduce to the board right now our new senior manager who joined us last Thursday, Mr. Chad Hockman. So I just want to make sure that the board is aware that the county has indeed filled the position and Chad accepted it and started last Thursday.
Yes. Would you like to make any comments? Or?
I'm just getting up to speed on everything, but I'm very excited to be working here, and I think there's a lot of great people, and I'm just excited for the opportunity, and hopefully we'll make some positive changes. So
wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much.
Okay, now we'll have a presentation by Ann.
And I'd also like to introduce Alexa Sanabria. She's our new secretary at the MPO. We're happy to have her, and Margarita will be training her, and eventually it'll be Alexa here at the meetings with us. But she's fantastic, and we love her at the MPO, and you all will love her as well. So this is Alexa.
Good morning.
All right, good morning, everyone, again. My name is Annie, and I work at the Palm Beach MPO, as you know. This presentation is an overview. We do have a new member, Elizabeth, here, and this is a refresher. So it'll highlight what we do, what to expect in this next fiscal year, because today is the first meeting of our new fiscal year for 2017. So we're extremely excited, and here we go. So I'll highlight the program for you, membership, LCB attendance, the duties of the LCB, and two of our main tasks, which is the Transportation Disadvantaged Service Plan update, as well as the Community Transportation Coordinator CTC evaluation. And then I'll show you the timeline for this coming fiscal year. So first, this map explains it all. So essentially, if you don't know how the TD program works, it starts with the State of Florida Office of the Governor, and he's created what we know as the Florida Commission for Transportation Disadvantage. So when we talk about the state office or the state, we're talking about the CTD. Their office is in Tallahassee, and essentially they've designated us, the DOPA, Designated Official Planning Agency, which is the MPO, to have this planning grant. And what we do with this planning grant is facilitate some of these tasks with you, the LCB. So we're really working hand in hand. The LCB always reports to the CTD, so any of these documents that you all work on, they do get forwarded to the state, and all along the way, the MPO is there to facilitate. So our CTC, Community Transportation Coordinator, is PalmTran Connection, as you all know, and what the LCB will do is, you know, help PalmTran Connection make certain decisions or, like I said, do the evaluation, because this is the CTC that works in our county. And there's a couple of other things along the way, too. FDOT is in the mix, and they offer some grant programs with the CTC. And then, of course, we all administer the TD program. So this is based on eligibility, regarding income, children at risk, disability status, etc. So this is the program in a nutshell. I just wanted to highlight. Some people don't know that it's only a Florida state program. This is really unique to our region, so we're lucky to have it. So regarding membership, right now we're at 13 members. Of course, Commissioner McKinley is our chairperson, Tomas is our vice chair, and we're very diverse on the LCB. We have all types of representation, and that's what makes this board so unique, is that there's so many voices that can be heard. And we're still seeking membership for now just four categories. Private transportation, so this is an owner of a smaller transportation program or network. An agency for persons with disabilities, agency on aging, and vocational rehabilitation. So we're actively seeking these members, but right now we're at a solid 13, so we're extremely happy to have lots of different voices. Hopefully at the next meeting we'll have them all here. So regarding attendance, this is extremely important. Essentially, if you've missed three meetings in a row without letting our secretary, the MPO, know, it's going to be an automatic loss of membership. So just notify the MPO at least one business day prior to the meeting to tell us they won't be able to come, and that'll count as excuse. So some of our duties. Does anyone have any questions so far? Okay. So some of our duties. In this meeting in particular, we'll review and adopt bylaws, as well as grievance procedures. And part of that is to have a grievance committee, a subcommittee. So if there's ever anyone who has a grievance with the CTC, with a vendor, with anybody, they can formally go through the grievance process, and we have a subcommittee that we will elect. And then appointing a vice chairperson. So yearly we have to do this. Last September we reappointed Tomas, so at the December meeting we'll do it again. It's 1 year after, following the meeting after he was appointed. So, and some more duties. So like I said, there's the TD service plan. So this is an all-encompassing plan that covers the entire county. So how the CTC works to provide services, the makeup of our county, the entire process, and this is an annual update. We have a minor update coming this fiscal year, but fiscal year 18, next year, we're going to do a major overhaul. So it's going to be nice to be able to read you the document, have everyone's feedback from the CTC, from the LCB, to make that happen. Yearly, we also do the CTC evaluation. So this process is dictated by the state. Everyone in the state who has a CTC or an LCB, they're using the same document, and we're going by certain parameters set by the state. So this happens yearly, and we'll start to work on that probably starting next year. And there's other, some smaller tasks like discussions. So if there's any safety concerns or eligibility, you can discuss it here. Any pertinent issues. And there's also the reviewing of rate models and service levels as they come up. So like I said, the TDSP, it outlines all the service parameters in our county. So for anybody who doesn't know, the TD population can vary, and Tommy County has the potential to have a large population. About 41% may qualify as TD. So like I said, it could be someone who's disabled, low-income, elderly, or a combination of all of those items. Like I said, our next update is coming, the major one is in fiscal year 18. And again, the CTC evaluation, like I said, it's an evaluation of their performance, and it's dictated by the CTD, so we're all using the same format. And what's really great about this is that we get to survey riders and beneficiaries of the program, so we'll literally call them, ask for feedback, so it's a nice candid way to get information about how Pontchartrain Connection is doing. And finally, our grant activities. So this is a timeline of this entire fiscal year. Here we are at the September 29th meeting, and we'll see you at the end in June. But essentially, this meeting, we're looking at our bylaws and grievance procedures. In December, we'll come to you. I'll actually be at the training meeting. So it's an annual meeting from the state. So all of the planners from the DOPAs are going to be there. Pontchartrain will be there as well, and it's a training workshop for all of those folks. So the next day, I'll come to you at the meeting on the 15th, and we'll start our TDSP update. We'll have our annual public hearing, so we invite people from anywhere to come and talk in a public setting. In March, the March 8th meeting, we'll begin our CTC evaluation, and then finally in June, we'll conclude that and approve our TDSP update as well, and that'll be June 14th. So this timeline is made available. It was made available to you in the backup material, along with the other MPO committees. And it's subject to change, but I think these dates are going to stay the the same for that, but we'll certainly keep you posted. And that's it. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to take them.
Any question?
Yeah.
As the MPO and Palmtran kind of came together, for a lot of grants, we need a coordinated contractor contract. Where do you know where we're at in that?
Maybe Palmtran would like to answer it. To my knowledge, there aren't any coordination contracts. But
that's correct. There's still no coordinated. There are still no coordination contracts between the county and the state. Mm-hmm. There was an agreement being, and that's going to be part of our presentation to us.
Okay.
That's still a work in progress, and unfortunately, they still haven't come to a mutually beneficial agreement.
Okay. Thank you. What liked all the colors there, right? It's fun and happy. Mm-hmm. All right. Next, we're going to go to item two, action items, motion to approve membership. We have Bobby Valentine as a representative for the disabled and appointed, and need to appoint Elizabeth Lodice as a citizen advocate. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Let's see, how does that work? Are they allowed to vote for themselves? I know, because we have just quorum.
So,
you want to move on.
Elizabeth's membership was approved by the MPO board.
Okay.
So this is really to swap them. So is it okay for them to So we'd like to shift Bobby's membership to allow Elizabeth to have that seat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. But do we still need to vote on it? Okay. So, all right. All in favor of the swap and Elizabeth now coming onto the board, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Next, the motion to adopt the fiscal year 2017 local coordinating board bylaws. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
I have one question. All the lines that you drew through, are those things that you're deleting?
It could be. So the document, since there's changes, it's provided in tracked changes with comments. So you're able to see if there were there additions, deletions, modifications. So you can see exactly track where the changes were made. So yes, in some cases there were deletions.
Well, I know that some of it repeated mm-hmm. and was redundant. So
yes.
I can understand why some of it was. But it looked like there was so much. I mean, I'm used to it being thick, but I couldn't believe there was so much deleted.
Yes, so the document has now been truncated, now it's more concise, gets to the point, and that's the new bylaws. So if you have any modifications, we're happy to hear them, or...
Are there any more discussions or questions or comments on the new bylaws? Seeing none, I'll call a question. Do you have a motion to approve the LCB board bylaws?
And I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Walker and a second by Ms. Green. And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Passed unanimously. Next, the motion to adopt the fiscal year local coordinating board grievances procedure. Hope everybody had a chance to look at that. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll call the question. Does anybody, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, and a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're making this nice and easy. All right, and then now the motion to approve the fiscal year 2016 annual operating report. Are there any comments or questions or discussion? Okay. Seeing none, now I'll call the question. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be moving.
Right.
Second.
And I got a second from Mr. Walker. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Next, we're going to item three, information items. We're going to have the annual expenditures report presented by Rosanna.
Good morning, everyone. Every year as a CPC, we need to approve and review our annual expenditure report.
and that needs to be submitted to the CTD. This information pretty much just shows any direct and local funding that we receive and how we apply that towards the trips that we provide. So the information is up on the screen. The two grants that PalmTran receives right now, it is the TD grant along with the OAA, which is an area agency grant, which covers our DOS on co-pays for people to go to meal sites for free. So that's the information that we're reporting on the screen. If anybody has any questions, I can answer them for you. No questions?
Do we have any questions or comments? This was just an information item, so we don't need to vote on it. Thank you, Rosanna. Next, we'll go to the CTC evaluation status report. We'll have a PowerPoint. Charlie will kick it off. And then...
Good morning, everyone. My name is Charlie Bodiger, and I'm with PalmTran Connection. And myself and our interim director, Heather, will be presenting you a response to the CTC evaluation. So first, we put together a summary slide that gave a quick synopsis of what the NPO found during their review of the CTC. The summary is that they came back to us with 20 recommendations, which resulted in 23 action items by staff. The current status of those action items, 6 are currently pending, 9 are in progress, 8 have been completed. So we broke this out to review what the NPO found during their evaluation, their recommendations, and the status. So as you can see, the first one is the CTC. Clients can submit complaints via telephone, social media, email. One of the recommendations they came back with was consider alternatives to receiving complaints, whether it be through online, through a website. The status of that is the agency currently is increasing our capabilities or capacities within the scheduling software Trapeze, so that clients will have the ability to go online and utilize the information from home. Again, password protected and so on. So, again, expanding our software abilities to better serve the clients who can now access our services utilizing the web. Clients also communicate directly concerns to the CTD if not completely satisfied with complaint resolutions. Follow-up on all complaints was the recommendation via email, telephone, letters, where applicable. So, number one, we talked about acknowledgement cards. We did this some time ago. It's now been resurrected. So both from a fixed route and a paratransit perspective, the agency will be sending out to the clients who call and log complaints acknowledgement cards stating that their complaint has indeed been received. This is already in place. This is already happening. So Jeff's department indeed receives the complaints, and part of their protocol now is to go ahead and mail these out. Daily, weekly, Jeff?
Every day. So yesterday's complaints are mailed out this morning.
So another part of the status is that the complaint department is going to look for a survey to be published to the customers in the first quarter of 2017 to see how indeed it's being received through the complaint process with regard to the upgrade in the website, the upgrade to the sending out of the acknowledgement cards, so that we can then take our processes, hone them, make them better, try to address the concerns of the clients. Continuing on with general questions.
I have a question on that.
Sure, Wayne.
When the complaint goes in, all you're doing is sending a card out that you acknowledge you received it, or are you going to give them in that acknowledgement what you say the complaint is, not what the customer said?
Why don't you
read it?
Yeah. So, Mike, let me read to you what the customer acknowledgement card is going to say when you get it in the mail. Thank you for contacting PalmTran Connection with your concerns about the quality of your paratransit service, as your input helps us to identify corrective action. We have transmitted your concern to the contractor for investigation. Your concern is currently under investigation. If you should have any questions, please contact customer relations, and it gives the telephone numbers, and it gives our hours of operation Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So the customer card will be mailed. If the person wants to review the customer service report that's developed through the agent, they can call back in, review what's been put on, and then within 5 to 7 business days, Jeff, there should be some documentation back from the responsible parties addressing the concerns that were outlined in the complaint.
At what point in time do you contact the contractor, whoever is the guilty party? Do you wait until the customer calls back and approves what you sent them?
No. We'll take the information on the phone call. We'll log that into the module within Trapeze that tracks and monitors complaints. The information, once saved, is then, because of certain search criteria, Mike, so again, we'll match that trip up with the route, the provider, being that the contractors are online with us, they're able to access that information immediately. So once it's saved, the contractors are able to visualize and see the complaints that are against them.
Now, I'm getting to a point where the customer expresses and states exactly what the problem is, and I find that it's reduced to ad infinitum until it no longer resembles the original complaint, and it will go through and come back with an absurd answer, which answers the thing you set up, but has nothing to do with the customer complained about and what was pointed out.
So
how do we avoid that?
Well, one of the best things, Mike, and we're getting a little off the topic, but one of the best things you can ever do when you're completing your phone call with the customer service rep about the complaint, before you cease or terminate the call, my suggestion would be, read me back what you're putting in the system. This way it's clearly delineated. There's no lapse of communication between you and the CSR entering that information, so that your point can be clearly understood before the document is indeed transmitted to the contractor.
That being said, we have multiple ways that information can be received by Palm Dry Connection. Can somebody send it in writing?
Sure.
That we're saying, so
absolutely.
They can send it through email or phone,
email,
and then
absolutely.
It would be...
And then we take that information and do the same process. We'll sit down and we'll enter that information in the complaint.
And then do we keep that document? That
so
it's saved, the email or anything?
Okay.
That the person, okay.
Yeah.
Mike, you have any more questions? Or?
You're not still getting to the point where someone who is knowledgeable about what everything is has it completely avoided when it comes out and the way it's presented to the make. In other words, it covers up what the real problem is many times and goes to some part of it which has not much meaning, and that's considered the complaint. I think what should be done is whatever is going to be sent to the out as the complaint should be given to the complainer in every case so that they know it's going out as they want.
Okay, I'm trying to understand it, because I think a lot of complaints fall into general categories, late vehicle, no-show, driver on cell phone. So when you're saying, like, a complaint gets reduced,
all right.
What's, like, I'm trying to understand where the miscommunication is happening
all
in
right.
being what's being reported.
I'll give you an example. When it came to routing, whether it was a good way to route or not, and this is done in the routing.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely avoided, even though I specifically pointed out what was wrong, etc. I always wait until I know where the next, what the rest of the routing is, because I'll give two examples. One, we're going from Jog Road and then about Lake Ida Road, and I am going down to a point which isn't too far away by going across Lake Ida Road or Flavor Pick. They went through Flavor Pick and then turned right, going all the way up to Boynton Beach Boulevard, and then came back again to drop me off, and I said, there's no complaint on that one from me. Because what they went up there for was pick a person who lived very close to my address and they were going further south at that point, so it made sense. So there's no basis for a complaint, fine. On the other hand, I'm coming back from, I think it was the VA, somewhere further north and east. And we go down and we have a drop-off, a pickup at, on the way south, at the Delray Hospital. Now, ordinarily, I'd say, let me see where we're going next. So they go all the way down to Delray Hospital. They pick someone up. And I find out that that person is going further south and east, down to southeast Boca. We are out west. That was bad routing. But in spite of the complaint being specifically put in that way, it came out that since on the way back, we got a call that had to go back to Lake, to Delray Hospital. So we had to go back again there and then pick someone else up who was waiting there and then go all the way up where I am, north and west of there, and then take that person all the way south to southeast Boca. Now that is bad routing because it's complete duplication. I'm not going, and that should have been apparent. However, the answer to that was very simple. They said we had an emergency pickup, and that's why you were late. There was no question about why I was late. It was a question of efficiency, and that was avoided completely. And time, things like this happen till the knowledgeable person says, the hell with the complaint, I'm not going to waste my time.
You have to ask, do you feel if that emergency pickup didn't have to happen, that second one, were they going to get you back on time within the windows that were prescribed?
No windows prescribed because it's on a return to home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think Palmtran staff has heard the complaint about the routing, and I mean, I know that they work very hard to be as efficiently as they can as possible. So I think it's well noted that, you know, Palmtran staff will make sure any complaints that come in that they're well documented and they're trying to answer the exact question you have. And if not, I think readdress them again with the, you know, ask, you can ask it again. I do think there's a lot of reliance on the scheduling software, and it's a human interaction. You never know when a person's going to be late, but when we take a look at the statistics overall of Palmtran, they're very good in terms of being on time, getting everybody where they need to go. And on occasion, there are some times where they have to go out of the way or where there are these emergency trips. But I think they try to do the best they can to get everybody on time.
Fine. What if it's pointed out to the driver and the driver will not speak to the dispatcher?
Call that in. Mm-hmm. Log it. We'll bring that to the attention of the appropriate contractor. The contractor can then speak to their employee as to why they may not have listened to the passenger, on a more efficient or more effective way to get them home. And again, big picture, Mike, as you just indicated, sometimes there are things beyond the control of that individual driver, but the dispatcher may be aware of that, such as vehicle breakdown, an accident, or a client emergency, as referred to. So again, there's a lot of things that happen on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot of moving parts that go on within dispatch. But again, if you have an issue with the driver not listening to you, bring that, log it through the complaints and accommodations arena, because again, it gives us an opportunity to get a benchmark on what's going on in the field.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to that, I think, as Charlie said, there's a lot of moving parts. So from a passenger's perspective, they may say, somebody else was picked up, and then they were dropped off, then I was picked up, and it doesn't seem to make sense why that order was. But there might be logic because the person even after that is where they wanted to have that vehicle to get somebody else on time to some place. So I know what you're saying is very valid and you know your areas, but I just want to let everybody else know that there is a lot of logic to what Palmtran does. It's not just kind of how are we going to try and make this happen. They're looking at a lot of moving things to make it work efficiently across the board.
I can see that where there's a problem, where there may be other issues, but where there was no issue. I recall one time where they went past a number, and I know the numbering system, so they went down Atlantic Avenue, went past, someone should be dropped off, went way out west. And I said, you've got the number wrong, no avail. Back to dispatcher, nothing. We went back past that place two or three times, and nothing was done. In the future, I will complain as necessary.
Please. That's the best way to do it, Mike.
And also, no, I mean, as Tomas mentioned, there is a lot of logic behind that. We're always working to improve that logic in both the reservations department, the scheduling department, and dispatch department. So hopefully in the next 6 months or so, we'll start to see some of those process improvements take place, and you'll see some of those things minimized. So it's always a work in progress. We're always working to improve. We're not just sitting and saying, oh, you know, we have a lot of moving parts, or we're not working to be better. We're always looking to do a better job, and hopefully, you know, we're going to give more focus to those things in upcoming months.
Wonderful. And then I guess I realize this is a two-part presentation, so were you going to present more? Or?
Yeah, he has more. I'm doing the middle slide.
Okay, so maybe we're going to hold off on questions and let the presentation continue, and then we'll ask all the questions at the end.
Okay, so another one of the findings that was brought to our attention was the summary of the complaints is currently provided to the LCB in a bar chart format. One of the recommendations that was brought forward was to provide a brief written summary or clear complimentary graphics of the complaints to the LCB. The current status of that is that, as Mr. Forbes, our current executive director, has stipulated in prior meetings, he's developing a performance management office who will be charged with releasing, compiling and releasing all the vital statistics as it relates to PalmTran and PalmTran Connections activities. And right now, that office is due to become online in the quarter four of 2016. Another one of the findings was that the signage on the vehicle contains communication, including complaint process, is small and difficult to read from far away. So the recommendation was to increase the font size on vehicle signage to improve its visibility to all the riders. Status. Stickers in the buses have been changed to what I'm holding up here, this bright yellow and black sign. There are 13 vehicles left in the fleet to do right now. As you can see, the sign has the telephone numbers, and it's in three different languages. Our larger vehicles have had two signs put in them. The smaller vehicles have had one. So hopefully this will address the issue with respect to the visibility of the complaint and how to contact people if indeed people have service issues while on board the bus. CTC is interested in coordinating with PalmTran, FixRoute, and TriRail to transfer riders from paratransit service. Recommendation was to meet with transit agencies to find ways to better coordinate transfers of eligible riders from paratransit to FixRoute. So, this one's a little wordy, so forgive me. But basically the status of this one is, in an effort to address the ridership on paratransit system, Connection is currently engaged in the beginning stages of adding a functional assessment component to our eligibility process. We feel as though this adding this value-added service to the process will better serve the residents of the community who truly need paratransit service. The functional assessment process, PalmTran Connection, can best employ the various types of eligibility for individuals seeking to use the paratransit system, while shifting those riders who can safely access our larger buses to the larger, more cost-efficient fixed route system. What does all that mean? That's a lot. So there's a movement afoot within the agency to identify options or alternatives to better hone our eligibility process. It's going to be a more scrutinizing process. Right now, there's considerations being thrown about. Do we handle it in-house with employees from the county? Do we outsource it? How sophisticated do we want to get this process? Do we just want to have it be a personal interview with someone with their doctor's information? Do we want to do a personal interview and actual functional assessment with their abilities to do physical activities? I believe our colleagues down south in Broward County actually have a cutaway of a real bus to make people actually be able to board the transit vehicle and find a seat on the vehicle. So again, it can get very elaborate. The people who conduct these evaluations are licensed professionals. So you'll have occupational therapists, you might have a social worker that's licensed within the state to conduct these evaluations, and they provide us their decision on whether or not this person gets full eligibility, conditional eligibility. What's an example of what might be conditional eligibility? Someone who might not be able to drive at night, so they need to be able to use the services just at night. Someone whose disability is as a result of an accident and is going to be short-term. So these are things that we don't currently employ that would help us to better hone the process to keep people who are truly in need of the paratransit service on the little buses. Functional assessment is a big, broad area, so I'm going to refer Tomas to the fixed route system. Tomas says to us, I don't have any idea how to navigate myself on the fixed route system. So travel training is a big, big component to this. Because if we're just going to throw people on the fixed route, it's just going to end up being a mess. So travel training is a vital part of the success of any functional assessment. So again, big plan for moving forward with trying to transfer people to other means of transportation that are available within the county. Here we go again. This was another finding. Gets back to what I just said. Paratransit users are unsure how to use the fixed route system. This is going to be part of what we talked about. Develop an educational program that includes videos to better inform riders how to use fixed route was our recommendation. Promote the educational program via social media, websites, and so on. Here's a reference again to the functional assessment. So as I already alluded to, this is going to allow us a bigger opportunity to better implement not only Tri-Rail, but the fixed route buses that are in the county already. Next finding. FDOT Section 5310 recipients are not adequately regulated for compliance, and contractual language is not updated to hold recipients accountable for the key safety measures. Their recommendation, the CTD should work closely with FDOT and the CTC to enforce the responsiveness of compliance of operators to facilitate a better coordinated system. Another recommendation was the CTD should also, should encourage FDOT to update Section 5310 language to show that it matches the Palm Beach County contract, which includes standards for HIPAA, drug and alcohol testing. What's that?
E-verify.
Current status of that. As we spoke about earlier in the meeting, Tomas brought it up. There currently is no contract between the CTC and any of the coordinated contractors within Palm Beach County. The state is fully aware of this. They're working with county attorney, county legal, to try to get some type of a mutually beneficial agreement. But again, that document has not been signed yet or executed. The voluntary dollar donation program is currently only marketed in printed CTC materials. The recommendation? Reference the voluntary program on the websites and via email. So what we've done is the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantage website has a lovely flyer that we've since posted on our website. We've printed it out, had it enlarged. It currently hangs in our contractor's buildings. And Shelly, how many different locations in Palm Train facilities?
10.
So the poster is indeed in 10 different locations in the 3 different locations for Palm Train. It's at the contractor's building, so it's at least in 1, 2, 3, 4 locations. 5 maybe if I pull count badly, Felix. So again, in an effort to try to address the getting the word out. So that's what that says with respect to the status. We tried to move forward with having this put in county buildings, but apparently there's a policy in place that we're trying to work with the county attorney's office to allow us to display it there, so it's not been displayed in other county facilities at this point. This was another finding during the audit. Some drivers have physical examinations that are near expiration. Recommendation, remind drivers about the physical expiration soon. Physical expiration soon of the approaching date and the deadline in order for them to remain in compliance. And this is indeed something that we do. We reference the state statute that requires them to have the physical exams, and this is something the staff does almost on a weekly basis with the submission of a safety-sensitive list. It gives us the expiration dates of their physical exams, their last drug tests, who the current employees are. So this is something that's monitored weekly, if not more often. Local toll-free number posted in the vehicles. Again, font size. We talked about the font size on the sticker. recommendation was to increase the font size, and the stickers are going to be put in the vehicles. Like I said, we're missing 13 of them right now. Next couple slides, I'm going to ask Kendra to come up to discuss with everyone real quick.
Sure. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So one of the recommendations from the local standard was increasing the public transit ridership goal of 25%, and then the on-time performance goal of greater than 95%. So the current status of this is we read this to be, the goal is to actually increase the ridership on fixed route 25%. So that goes right in hand with Charlie's mentioning of the functional assessment travel training. In order to do so, we need to educate our passengers. The on-time performance goal is currently under review. It is considered high for an industry standard. So we're working with the performance management office that's being created and actually surveying our peers to see what are their measurements so that we're in line with the industry standard. The second recommendation, I'm going to walk your view here, is evaluate current goals and ascertain whether they meet the, whether or not they're tenable measurements, inform the contractor which goals they are not meeting and work towards achieving them, provide educational opportunities to contractors and appropriate staff to improve knowledge of measurable goals and help improve achievement. Again, this goes back to the performance management office. We're going to help define, establish, share, communicate those results. But we currently have contractual standards with our providers that we do meet with them on a bi-weekly basis to ensure that they are meeting standards. So these two are considered. The second one is considered complete because it is an ongoing meeting and collaboration with the providers to improve those metrics. And the first one, again, as Charlie mentioned, should be complete by the end of this year. You can go.
Okay, I'll leave. So another one of the findings was that the TTY number, the Florida Relay System numbers, it was a shortcoming with respect to how we went about displaying those in our literature. The recommendation was to list the TTY numbers in the Rider's Guide on the website and the other publications. The status of that is that the website has indeed been updated to reflect the TTY number. Our current paratransit rider's guide, as we discussed in a previous meeting, is currently under review right now, and it's actually being posted on our website, and we're waiting for one or two last-minute changes to happen with respect to our vision and mission statements as an agency. And once we get all that stuff ironed out, we're going to go to print with that. But the information that we can update electronically has indeed been updated.
Question.
Sure.
TDD, TDY is starting to go the way of the dinosaurs. Are you looking at anything with video conferencing with them to allow them to, it's a service that you can contract with? A lot more people are using that in the...
Okay, that information is new to me, so I don't think we've got anything moving in that direction, but we can definitely take that under advisement.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then for the rider survey, one of the findings was drivers are unable to find destinations because the system cannot accurately locate an address. As a result, riders are often picked up late or arrive late to their destination. I know in my 4-month tenure here, this has been one of the hot topics around content connection, and we continue to work on this issue. The recommendation was to improve update the GPS system in a vehicle so that addresses are properly located. We're working with trapeze because on the vehicle are trapeze, what they call mentor ranger units. We've recently, I think we've piloted about 3 or 4 times with 5 to 10 vehicles, and the recent pilot as of 2 weeks ago, we actually saw some improvement in the routing and mapping capabilities. So we had to go back to the county, get updated map information, making sure it had the turn-by-turn restrictions and directions in that software, and we piloted, I believe, now on 10 vehicles.
15
now. 15. Wow. So we're increasing rapidly.
15.
Okay. So we have it on 15 vehicles right now. We've received positive feedback, but you know, better mapping. What else was the feedback, Charlie? I think you've had more.
We've had one of the big changes we made was allowing the drivers to have opportunity to see more of the specific client needs. So if there's a specific requirement for the driver to do something when he gets to their residence, there was once a restriction on the amount of characters that the driver would see. With Heather's assistance, we've increased that to, I believe, over 250 characters. But we've also taken that to the next step in that we've done the same thing for their destinations. We've increased that in case there may be some unique circumstances the driver needs to be aware of on the drop-off. And then we've added a third common field that would be something that would follow the client no matter where they travel to. So one of the things that, you know, is very specific to an individual, if they're visually impaired, that would be something that no matter where they went, whether it be home, movies, doctor, whatever it is, that would follow them on each and every trip also. So that's another field that we've also added to the driver to try to make their lives a little easier on identifying where the person is, going to the proper location, and that's some good feedback. That's feedback that we've got from the drivers that they've said is very, very, very satisfying for them.
So once we feel that the pilot's successful, which we do feel at this point, we'll start to roll these out to all of the 240 vehicles in the fleet. So the next finding, riders sit on the vehicles for hours, oftentimes passing destinations en route to pick up, drop off other passengers. The recommendation was to improve trip optimization so that multi-loaded passengers arrive to their destinations in a timely manner. We briefly spoke about this just earlier. This is an ongoing effort. Trip optimization is a daily priority with scheduling and dispatch departments. We're currently working to review those processes, optimize the TRAPE software, such as improving the maps, looking at the settings, speeds, anything that we can do. What data do we have in there that we can use to optimize not just the software, but also the process that the schedulers and dispatchers are using? We've added more real-time tools that can show, this passenger to the dispatch in real time. This passenger has the potential of being on board too long, so let's take a corrective action with that. And a lot of it, too, is partnering with the providers to ensure they have the tools that they need to also help deliver that service. If there's a specific issue that happens, please call in to let us know so that we can further investigate and follow up so that we know we can either prevent it from happening again or figure out what exactly went wrong in that particular trip. So the next one is, the finding from the rider survey was, riders follow the complaint procedure but do not receive a follow-up response from the CTC. This is kind of redundant from the earlier finding as well. So what we've done is, or the recommendation was to improve the complaint department customer service and ensure clients receive a follow-up response as soon as possible. So acknowledgement cards will be sent to every individual who submits a complaint. That's currently being done, as Charlie mentioned, in the card. And then a closeout survey will be developed so that customers may rate their experience. And this is an initiative for the first quarter of 2017. Any questions for the writer's survey? Recommendations or action items?
There's a lot I want to go over. It's a ton, so I'll wait till the end.
This is the last slide. So this is a summary of the recommendations. There were 20 recommendations, which resulted in 23 action items. 6 are pending. We have 9 in progress and 8 completed. Most of these are to be completed by mid Q2, Q3 of next year. The functional assessment and travel training piece is probably the most intense. It's going to require some time and effort. So that's probably the one that's going to take the longest to complete. So.
Wonderful.
That's it.
No, thank you. I'm going to open it up. Maybe if you can stay up here. Do we open it up to questions from the board? Are there any questions or comments?
Well, there is one. Isn't it saying in the contract, Charlie, that your drivers are supposed to know where the hell they're going? Excuse my language. Where the hell they're going when they take a trip?
You can't say excuse me. They say the same word again.
Several of your drivers don't know where they're going.
So yes, the drivers should have knowledge, basic working knowledge of the county. Absolutely. Another tool they use is the MDT to get around, Bobby. And the drivers should also have that old school hard copy map with them, just in case.
Do you give them maps like you used to?
It would be the provider's responsibility to give them maps. And at my last check several months ago, you're still affording them copies of a Palm Beach County map.
Yes.
So, there you go. So yes.
Okay. Do we have any other questions?
In that regard, is the trapeze being updated like every other GPS to say not just left and right, but left onto what street they're going, so they know what street they're on, so they learn as they drive instead of just blindly following left and right?
That's a great question. And if you've been reading my emails like I have, Mike, I'm taking you a look over my shoulder. Because we just found out from Trapeze that that might be one of the issues that they need to enhance in our system. So we actually found that out. I'm going to say that I got that email within the last 3 weeks. and that's something that we need to discuss with them because, again, it's a third-party navigation software that apparently needs to be implemented in the MDTs. So again, that is indeed a struggle that we're having right now that we just identified was not part of the original setup. So I have to get back to you on that because I too need an answer on that.
Charlie, I brought that up a long time ago, and they said they were working on it.
So I've just confirmed your suspicions.
Okay.
The capability is there. It just they need to add that the voice files to read a facility to read those files on the turn by turn. So now at least we have the right turns down now. We hope, but the street names are to come next. So.
Okay, great. Okay. Let's see. I'm really happy we're doing all those complaint stickers. I think that's one thing that we've been asking for a long time because the only way to improve is to get the feedback from our customers of where we can improve. I did want to see, is there anything in the contracts that if the complaints shoot up, that it will hurt any of the vendors?
So when you say shoot up, I can give you the language in the contract that speaks to the complaint ratio. They're held to a standard of no more than 3 valid complaints per 10,000 completed trips. If their ratio exceeds that number, there is a financial disincentive that applies to them on a monthly basis.
I'm concerned about that because I genuinely want people to complain. I genuinely want people to say that didn't work out. And maybe we have to take a lot of them with a grain of salt. Maybe we have to understand that, you know, there's different reasons why people complain. And so some are going to be more action items. Some we just have to understand and try and make the client feel as happy as possible. But I think with that number being so low, it discourages. We end up going to fighting ourselves because then when complaints come in, are we not going to register them as complaints? We're going to register them as a comment, how things are going to work. So that's a serious concern that I have because I think that if we promote it, we want you to get your feedback and take away the word complaint. Say, we want your feedback. Is it good? Is it bad? But then we can be in the face of the client all the time. We want to hear from you. And if we do that, we're going to get more than 3 over 10,000. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get vendors that might be upset because now they're being financially disincentivized. So I think we need to re-look at that, maybe make the number a little higher, and then also start to understand what the complaints are or put the complaints in different categories. So things that we know definitively, late vehicle, that's a complaint that goes towards a 3 per 10,000. The driver didn't drop me off in the right order because, you know, I could have been dropped off sooner. That one we evaluate, but then maybe doesn't go against the 3 per 10,000 complaint because, again, that's from the consumer's perspective, not necessarily what we would then change any operational procedures.
Remember, what you're talking about is a change to our contract. So we would have to make sure if that's something that this board wants to advise us on, we would have to discuss that with leadership and see if that's something we want to go to the BCC to have altered.
I think that's something that we need to. I don't think we need to take a motion, or do you suggest that? So we're not going to take a motion for that.
I would rather, if you guys want us to, there needs to be some more digging, if you will, into that. And with Mr. Hockman's first week on the job here, I'd give him the opportunity to...
Tomas, I can answer that. So I'm the assistant director at Palm Tran. My name's Charles Frazier. And Clinton Forbes, our executive director, thinks of this completely differently than when the contracts were established. He believes that a complaint, perceived or real, is a worthwhile thing to investigate. So whether it really happened or we just think it happened, he wants all of those things captured so that we can react and provide the best service that we can to our customers. So, Tomas, we're on the exact same page. You know, one of the things that Clinton did in his search for a new senior manager that we have here in Chad is to really understand that. And so that's something that we'll be working on in the near future, and Clinton will speak to that as well. But there's no need for a motion today.
Okay, wonderful. I appreciate that. Next item is the functional assessment that then goes to travel training. Are those going to be outsourced? Are those going to be done in-house, the functional assessment and the travel training?
It would all be part of the same situation. So the concern would be county employees versus third-party vendor coming in.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at that, we've got to talk about the different aspects about
who's going to do what, what's going to, you know, how are we going to do these things? Because as I started to investigate the whole functional assessment component to us, they all go hand in hand with each other. So it would be my opinion, based on what I've read in my research, that a functional assessment was going to come in-house, mm-hmm. and we were going to use county employees, that the county, the travel chain would have to be intern county employees. If it was going to be third party, we'd have to stay consistent with that same thing.
Tomas, can I just add, I'm sorry, I didn't cut Charlie off, but, you know, again, Mr. Forbes has a very specific way of addressing things, and one of the things we did was a national search for the right manager to come in, and, you know, Chad's bringing 20 years of experience with this type of work, and so one of his challenges is going to be, you know, addressing these findings. So, you know, we're in a little bit of a transition stage. We've had Heather, who's been great, and she's been addressing and giving you some of these responses, but one of the things that Chad's going to be doing is really digging in to the details of the findings, look at our initial responses to your recommendations, and then applying that 20 years of good experience partnering with Clinton, and we will probably bring an update to you, I would imagine, for a lot of these things. So that hasn't been decided yet about bringing it in-house or not, and there's some challenges with it, but we'll work through it, and we've got the right person in the seat to take care of it for us.
I have a lot of trust in PalmTran, but at the same time, as a board, we're responsible for the passengers. And so I would really ask that, I mean, we're talking, some, when you're talking functional assessments, that people can be kicked off of a trip, I think we really want to be stay in the know of as these are progressing. Because going with a third-party vendor or keeping it in-house, that could have some major different ramifications in terms of how it's actually done. And so I think we want to keep abreast on that. Things that concern me are, if they do a functional assessment, are they automatically, and they don't pass, are they automatically then told, okay, you need to go to the fixed route? Or are we going to give them a month to kind of start to understand the system? They still need to go to the, you know, grocery store or something while they're not quite ready to start using the fixed route. Or are we going to allow them to use PalmTran Connection while they're getting the travel training? These are things that are of real concern to me. That, you know, that I don't want to see definite black and whites, because I think when we realize the full spectrum of individuals that are transportation disadvantaged, sometimes either with a third party or even the county, we might be too ambitious to try and get that 25% on the public transportation, and then we take too many people off of PalmTran Connection before our fixed route system gets to the point where it's more usable by the transportation disadvantaged population. So the other thing that I wanted to see is if there's going to then be an appeals board. So if a person does get, by through functional assessment, is told that they can no longer receive transportation, that they could appeal that, and we can then better examine why that is. Because if it's an individual that's 87 years old, and they're on a route that's once every hour, realistically, we could say, yes, they can use the fixed route. But if we still don't have our on-time performance for that fixed route system, and so it's not genuinely every hour, they can't genuinely know if they were at that bus stop at a certain time, the vehicle's going to be there, so they're waiting there 45 minutes in different times, I might be more flexible with that individual until we get our fixed route system up. So the other comment I'd like to see is that there is an appeals board put into that. The third is one of the things that we haven't discussed, which is now at the forefront, I think, in national transportation and different types of model programs, is the use of the transportation network companies, such as Uber and Lyft. And I know where we're just starting to look at that, but at the same time, I think we need to really keep that as an item that we're always looking at, because one of the reasons we want to drop down the amount of PalmTran Connection trips is because they're so expensive. If there's another option that we can do that significantly drops down the expense, but then for our older adults and our individuals with disabilities, that the public transportation, the fixed route, is still more of a stretch, this could actually be a good solution. So I just bring that up to you because I think we really need to stay on top of that, because that might be something that can be transformative and actually change the way that we're trying to look at the whole dynamics of moving people from paratransit to fixed route. This might be a middle approach, and it might actually have enhancements that are above and beyond what we currently have in PalmTran Connection, that people will actually want to flock to that. Okay, those were my comments. Are there any more questions or comments from the board? Okay, seeing none. That was just an information item. Thank you, Charlie, and thank you, Heather. Administrative items, item number four, the committee meeting calendar. We went over that in the presentation. That was in the backup. Member comments. Actually, before member comments, Chad, would we, Charlie introduced you briefly, but for the people that weren't at the Pontran board meeting, would you be able to just discuss your history, a little bit where you're coming from? And
Sure. I started out in public transportation at The Ohio State University. And then I moved on and spent 13 years with MV Transportation in my last role as a regional vice president. And I oversaw six states and 14 different contracts, all different kinds of models, fixed route, paratransit, demand response. So I have a great experience with paratransit. And, you know, a few of my comments for today is, today is my first 1 week in. And all these things we're talking about are all things that are on my plate to evaluate. And I don't think any decisions have been made. And I think, you know, they've been waiting for me to come on. And as I like to say, this first week has been like drinking from a fire hose with information. And I want to make sure that we get our operational stuff cleaned up in-house first before we talk about functional assessments and changing, you know, blowing out the templates and redesigning routes. And we have some obstacles that we need to clean up first before we're going there. So some of the stuff that we talked about today is going to be in the works down the road, like Lyft and taxi and whatever. I mean, I've been bombarded with all that. And I keep saying, all right, great, I'll look at that. But I gotta focus on the core right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited. I think there's everybody who is here really cares about transportation and what we're providing. And I'm just excited to be a partner of that. And I know that we can make some positive changes that is going to affect the customer service, the level of service we provide to the customers. And that's my end all goal. So I'm open to any suggestions, but like I said, it's 1 week in and it's been a data dump. Mm-hmm. So, but I really do, I'm excited. And like I said, I have a lot of experience doing this before, so.
Wonderful. Are there any questions for Chad? Or?
Yeah, did I hear Ohio State mentioned?
Yes, you did.
Go Buckeyes!
Go Buckeyes. Yeah, born and raised. So it's the first move to Florida, and I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to the winters down here.
You're right.
I'm not going to miss the snow.
Well, welcome, Chad. We're happy to have you here in Florida and here overseeing the Pontran connection, because I think there's a lot of, we're in a stage where there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of room for growth, so we appreciate you bringing all your expertise here for us.
Thank you.
Are there other member comments? Seeing none, the next meeting is Thursday, December 15th of 2016, and do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. With that, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the week.